When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I am your mayor of PHNX. This guy's my vice mayor. Also a Thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman.
There, it feels like every single day there's a new prospect list that drops. Mm-hmm. And somehow, even though they're kind of all somewhat the same when it comes to the D-backs, there's still like this renewed excitement that comes with every single one of them. Mm-hmm. So hey, we have another top 100 list, and we're gonna talk about it. We don't care about how many top 100 prospect lists we've already talked about.
We will talk about the top 100 prospects list around here because it's prospect season, and of course, things look very good for the Arizona Diamondbacks' future. This show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. First, before we get on to prospects news, we wanted to give a big happy birthday, belated happy birthday to our friend Chris Melton. It is Mailbag Monday, which falls in my birthday week. Well, welcome to Chris's birthday week. We are proud to be a part of it. Thank you so much for being a part of our PHNX family. We couldn't do it without you, and I mean that literally. Chris is the godmother, I guess you would say,
yeah,
of the PHNX family.
Very, very accurate. Yeah. I don't really know what we would do without Chris,
no,
frankly.
I
and
no.
I mean that no. in with utter sincerity. No. I'm not really sure what we would do.
There's artwork on the walls that were provided to us by Chris. I mean, literally, she has decorated our studio and I've been a part of our family since day one. So big happy birthday to you. Hope you are enjoying it very much. Elizabeth says Jesse kind of looks like Timothy Chalamet today. And Elizabeth has been drinking, obviously. So
I have no
welcome
idea.
Into the show, Elizabeth.
I have no idea who
Cheers
that is.
Cheers to you. Oh, now he's going to look up Timothy Chalamet.
This is the part of the
show.
Do
you see what you've done? You've
already
derailed
search.
Us. My God. Anyway.
Trying to gas Jesse up.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at the look on his face. He's looking at all the pictures.
My hair is not...
Man.
Quite that curly. It is a little crazier today than normal, so maybe that's what it is.
This is ridiculous. But Keith Law released his top 100 prospects list, which Jesse is very excited about. And the D-backs once again have five prospects on the top prospects list, but it may not be who you think it is. No, Gabriel Moreno didn't make a return to someone's top prospects list. Keith Law actually has Ryan Nelson, number 82 on his top 100 prospects list. Ryan Nelson, who debuted in the majors last year and had quite a start along with Dre Jameson. So, Jesse, I guess thoughts on Ryan Nelson here at 82?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, in past years, in recent years, it's felt like Nelson, Jameson, Fott were all kind of interchangeable, like depending on which list you looked at. Sure. A lot of them were top 100 guys last year. But the order of them was sort of just anyone's guess. I don't think there was a big difference between them in terms of how they were perceived. Now there is a pretty big difference, right? Brandon Fott is the clear front runner after the season he had last year. And I think a lot of people still view Nelson and Jameson as being kind of on the same level. I think it's interesting that Nelson did make this list. There is no Dre Jameson on Keith Law's list, only Ryan Nelson. Which I'd be curious to ask Keith, you know, just kind of maybe what his thoughts were on that and how those two compare. Ryan Nelson, 25 years old. So I think that's the main reason why you maybe haven't seen him on any list so far. Once you get to 25 years old, it's pretty hard to be on a top 100 list at that point.
I don't like this. I don't like the direction this is going.
But the reason that Ryan Nelson is here is because he came up last year and had like a 1.5 ERA in four starts in the big leagues. And even though his numbers in the minors last year weren't great, he made quite an impression upon arriving to the big leagues.
Same thing with Jameson. Their numbers were so good at a big league level that I felt like we both, and we had discussions about this, we were both almost waiting for them to come back down to earth. Like, it almost seemed surreal for them to be able to perform at the level that they did when they reached the majors in comparison to their minor league numbers, right? The minor league numbers tend to be what you look at, that kind of let you let the wind out of the sail a little bit. However, it's almost like boot camp for pitchers, right? I mean, it's almost like pitching within the Diamondbacks organization in Reno and in Amarillo, that you are going to have face, you know, a more pitcher friendly ballpark than you might even see in the majors outside of Colorado. So I think that, batter friendly. I didn't mean pitcher friendly. Definitely not pitcher friendly. I meant hitter friendly ballpark. But you're not going to see, you know, too many of those. And honestly, the guys have done a great job at transitioning. Ryan Nelson definitely was the first to do that, right? He debuted before Dre Jameson, and he was the first one to have his stellar outing that kind of surprised us.
Yeah, I mean, the key with Ryan Nelson is his fastball. We saw it last year. His velocity actually played up a little bit on his arrival to the majors. It was more 94 in the minors, but we saw 95 in the majors on average. So we'll see if that was just kind of an adrenaline rush in his first few starts, or if maybe that has some staying power in the big leagues. But the big question with Ryan Nelson, and the reason that Keith Law has him on this list, is, you know, what are the secondary pitches going to look like? And Keith Law believes in those secondary pitches to a certain extent, right? He talked about Ryan Nelson's slider, which he said flashed as a plus pitch. The splitter / changeup, depending on who you ask, didn't look quite as good for Ryan Nelson in the majors. But the thing for him is that he's going to have to establish a secondary pitch that he can turn to regularly. If you look at his pitch usage numbers from a year ago, he relied very heavily on his fastball. We've talked about this before. 70% four seamers, 13% curveballs, 11% sliders, 6% changeups. And in order to have staying power in the big leagues, as we've said, you're going to have to be able to rely on those pitches more. Keith seems to think the slider is the one that could take that next step. And I went back and watched some Ryan Nelson sliders, and indeed, he didn't throw many of them, but it was a really effective pitch for him at times.
Why is Dre Jameson doubted? What is it about his game that analysts don't see longevity there as a starting pitcher? It almost feels a bit like, you know, and you've dug into these numbers for the team last year, where at times some of, like, for instance, your home run piece, where a lot of the home runs just are very unlikely based on the trajectory, angle, pitch, you know, exit velocity, all of that kind of stuff, right? So what we saw with Dre Jameson last year was very exciting. It felt like he was almost the better of the two. Yet what we see is Ryan Nelson still ranked much higher than Dre Jameson, and a lot of Jameson's success from last season almost is attributed to defense and a bit of you know, just a bit of good fortune, rather than it being actually something he's doing that is looking dominant at a major league level.
There definitely was an element of good fortune in Dre Jameson's results last year. I think of these two pitchers, I think Ryan Nelson's results, and again, it's you know, it's three or four starts. You can't put that much stock in these numbers. But Dre Jameson gave up a lot of hard contact. Which I know, looking at how good the numbers were, that might be a little bit hard to believe. His expected ERA, according to Baseball Savant, was 4.49, which is not even very good, right? Like, that's actually kind of below average.
And what's his actual ERA?
His actual ERA was 1.48, right? So there's an enormous, enormous disparity. And again,
that's fucking nuts, dude.
in this few number of starts, like, you know, it's hard to, like I said, it's hard to put any stock in those numbers, right? But there were more like warning signs of like, okay, this may or may not be legit with Dre Jameson than with Ryan Nelson, who genuinely, like, hitters just couldn't square up his stuff, his fastball. You know, I think coming into the big leagues, he was like, this is the pitch that I know works best, and I'm just going to rely on this pitch.
Right.
And that's exactly what he did. And maybe hitters make some adjustments. I'm sure they will over time. But initially, they couldn't hit Ryan Nelson's fastball. It has an insane amount of spin. Yeah. It has an insane amount of ride. It's very, very hard to hit. You know, even though 95 miles an hour doesn't jump off the page, it's way harder to hit than you would think.
Jameson did a better job of, you know, mixing up his pitches, using secondary pitches more. He kind of came in at times with a better game plan in his starts. So maybe that is a little bit more, you know, the reason why we saw him have that success. But, you know, again, the reason why projections are one thing and results are another is because, despite the results, sometimes the projections end up eventually being correct. And that's really what we're trying to look at with a guy that's only made three or four starts isn't so much the immediate results as much as what we could see out of him in the future. That
right.
way, it's not this huge surprise. If he's better than this, then that's fantastic, just like he was, then that's great. However, really what the Diamondbacks are looking for is who is going to round out their starting rotation. And Dre Jameson could end up being a valuable piece for this team out of the bullpen instead of in the rotation. That's why right now they need to determine which of these young guys are going to stick around.
I think with Jameson, and again, I would love to ask Keith's actual take on this, but I suspect that the reason that Jameson was not on this list and Nelson was, is that Dre Jameson has a slider, which is a really good slider, but he doesn't have any other clear secondary pitches. He's got the four-seamer and the sinker, which is great. The sinker has been a really nice addition for him over the last couple of years, but it's hard to make it as a starter when you have two different types of fastballs and only one other out pitch. He kind of needs the curveball or the changeup to take another step forward in order to have staying power in the big leagues. Yeah. Whereas with Ryan Nelson, I think the makings of those secondaries is already there. We talked about the slider, the curveball, the changeup. There are people who view those pitches as already being like average, maybe above average big league offerings. Whereas with Jameson, it's like it kind of has the feel of a fastball slider sort of a deal, which generally plays better in the bullpen than it does in the starting rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And another reason why he might find his way into the bullpen is because of who Keith Law has at number 38 on his list, which is Brandon Pfaadt.
Yeah.
Brandon Pfaadt comes in at number 38. Drew Jones comes in at 14. Jordan Lawler at 9. Corbin Carroll, number one. Keith Law's list and in your hearts. So, again, we know many of these lists are going to be very similar. We know that. But we don't hate seeing this over and over again. Corbin Carroll landing in the top three in everybody's lists in some way. Drew Jones and Jordan Lawler being much closer to the top than we anticipated. And even Brandon Pfaadt being in the mix. I mean, Ryan Nelson, that's almost just icing on the cake. Between him and Gabriel Moreno and Dre Jameson, we know how special this young core is. And more importantly, how close the timeline is for these guys. This is what, over the last two seasons, we have been begging for this team to develop. And it feels like, outside of a couple of veterans on the team, we really have figured out who the core of this team going forward is going to be. And who they really need to focus around, who they need to build around. When acquiring pieces, they can, you know, kind of shoot for hopefully guys in the same age range, even though that is going to get to be more and more difficult as these guys get to that perfect MLB ripe old age of like 24, you know?
Keith Law said at the end of his little blurb on Corbin Carroll, he said, the Diamondbacks are building a tremendous core of young players and Carroll will be one of their centerpieces for a long time. So yeah, Keith Law is a fan. Keith Law is in on the future of the Diamondbacks and there's good reason to be in that place, right?
Yes.
I mean, he has Jordan Lawler in the top 10. He has Drew Jones at 14 instead of MLB Pipeline, which had him at 15.
Again, three in the top 15 and two in the top 10. Jesse
pretty
loves
crazy.
Loves to dissect how unlikely that is, but considering that there's 30 MLB teams and they all have a pretty damn good prospect in their system somewhere, that's just so unlikely and just shows how honestly how good this is for the future of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I want to address I Am the Larry said earlier, which I wasn't a part of this chat, so this is interesting to hear. He said in Keith Law's chat today, he hinted that the next guy on the D-backs list is not Jameson or De Los Santos. I'm very curious who is next. We would have to ask Keith directly to figure out the answer to that question, but I can tell you with some confidence that I would bet it is Yumin Lin. It is a very, very young left-handed pitcher that the Diamondbacks signed as an international amateur within the last couple of years. And he has like 26 pitches, I'm pretty sure. Not 26. But he has a lot of pitches.
I was so excited about that. I was like, tell me, you're like bullshitting me right now, Jesse.
No, I believe he has 6 pitches and even like some different alterations that you could theoretically call even more than that.
Yeah.
He's a slim kid, so there are some questions about like how the velocity will evolve over time. I think it's low 90s right now, but he's a lefty that people are starting to get excited about. That's my guess for who would be next on this list. He's just so young and he hasn't played above low A at this point, so it's hard for him to get in these top 100 lists, but he's a name to watch moving forward.
Well, on the flip side of the good times that the future might bring us, let's bring in some bad times in regards to what the present brings us. Let's throw this picture up here that nobody wants to see. Yeah, that's going to bring pain to so many of us. Jesse, I texted you this when we were discussing this image, but just look how happy he is, right? Like, did you ever see him smile that big as an Arizona Diamondback?
Honestly, yes.
Really?
All the time.
What?
Literally all the time.
No.
Paul Goldschmidt is one of the, I don't know, like Paul Goldschmidt is not a super like charismatic, outgoing guy.
Absolutely.
But any time that he's talking with someone, having a friendly conversation, you're going to get the Goldie smile.
Oh, man.
You know?
He's just, look at, he just looks so happy.
I think that's
it
just so.
It brings me so much pain.
That's just so who Paul Goldschmidt is, though.
Oh, this like, is like whether, staring at the sun right now.
Whether, whether he's looking at, you know, just someone just chatting it up in the dugout or whatever, or he's holding a long-awaited most valuable player trophy. Goldie is just Goldie, you know. He's not a big spotlight guy.
Would you guys go as far to say that this is cursed?
No,
this is a cursed photo.
This is a cursed image. Yeah, that bow tie is so big. He looks so handsome. I'm so jealous of this image so much. I want this for us so bad. I want this for the Diamondbacks so bad, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Like, it's like breaking up with someone, right? I just want to see him be happy. But I didn't want him to be that happy. Like, I didn't want to see that look in his eye. That
but
twinkle.
But I don't know if you can go with the breakup analogy, because it's like the most peaceful, loving breakup.
Sometimes
ever,
they're like that, Jesse. Right? Sometimes they're not. Sometimes there's not animosity. Sometimes you just peacefully go your separate ways, but you still long in your heart for that person. Oh, that breaks That's my fair. Heart. You know what, though? At least his trophy is spelled correctly. let's take a look at what Justin Verlander
impressive.
And Sandy Alcantara's trophy. Look at this. Valuable, the most valuable pitchers in MLB history, proclaimed by MLB. Look at that guy. He's laughing because he knows it's misspelled. He's having a good time with it. And I just have to ask, Jesse, what the hell? What the hell did they do in regards to these Cy Young Awards? I guess it's our duty. It's more than our duty. It's our time to throw a little shade at the MLB for their inability to spell correctly on a Cy Young trophy. Can we get a little music in the graphic, please? Who is responsible for this MLB? Is it Aaron Judge? I don't know. What the hell is going on here? Jesse, how does this design not get approved and spell checked by somebody?
Well, I mean, you know, the way that they make these trophies, Derek. I mean, nobody goes back and double checks the spelling.
What?
Right?
One guy does it?
Yeah, it's just one guy.
This is
yeah.
like you letting me tweet on the account. This
yeah.
is not a good idea.
There's a reason I don't let you do that.
Right. There's a reason why we signed up for Twitter Blue, and I am the reason. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. MLB, you really put this in the hands of one person? I mean, it's not even a great design, if I'm being honest. It's also one of the first times they've actually used the word valuable on the Cy Young Award.
It is the first time.
What
it
the
is the
fuck?
First time. Yeah, so it turns out that in recent years, I mean, this has been the case for at least as long as I'm aware, the Cy Young trophy did not say most valuable pitcher, which is where the misspelling came from. It said the outstanding National League pitcher or the outstanding American League pitcher. So they had one. This
you
is their first
job.
Shot.
You
they had one
job
to simply spell the new thing correctly, and they did not do that.
It's not the only time this has happened in baseball. I mean, misspellings are a common occurrence. Let's take a look at some other famous misspellings that have occurred in Major League Baseball. That's friend of the show, Zach Greinke, right there. I mean, I understand misspelling his name. His name's kind of hard, but what else we got? Milwaukee.
To be fair, Milwaukee is unnecessarily difficult.
It is.
Spell.
You're not wrong
There's
about that.
There's way too many way too many vowels in Milwaukee.
Yeah. What else? What else we got here? San Francisco. I don't know how we're spelling that extra C in there. That's something. And come on, this was a giveaway. This was a giveaway, and you're going to misspell Troy Tulowitzki's name? Where's the T? Where's the extra T? There should be two T's in that one.
In their defense, you could make a case that it should be spelled that way.
I mean,
like
you're
the,
right.
Like the T sound like kind of comes from the Z. And also, I have to say, in Major League Baseball's defense, are we sure that valuable needs an A?
Oh, God damn it, Jesse.
Like,
you
come on now.
You know, you're not going to question
like,
the
like
human
the
language.
Word you're not value.
Gonna, you're not going to do this
the
to
word
the
value human. Doesn't have an A, last time right. I checked. Anyway. Valuable, you could just have a U. You don't actually need the A.
I don't know how he would spell Four Peaks if we let him, but I mean, let's be honest here.
Do you want me to talk about how valuable and invaluable mean the same thing? The problem here, you could argue, is the English language, Derek. Not Major League Baseball.
The problem,
I'm just saying.
The problem is you. You're the problem. I said it was me earlier. I think it's you. But really, I get through this with our friends from Four Peaks, so I thank them all the time. Hop Knot IPA. I heard earlier in the chat someone could use one. It was a Gabriel. I think Gabriel needs one. It is one of the best beers that they make, of course. Make sure to check them out. He says, I need Derek's Hop Knot IPA right now. Unfortunately, no, none for you. Sorry. You work with kids, so no, that's not happening. But when you do a show like this, you can drink, I guess. Those are the rules. I don't make them. I just abide by them. But make sure to grab your favorite Four Peaks wherever you get your beer at. Also, check out their brand new Recreational Juice Dank IPA and Staycation Super Juicy IPA. Both are now available at their 8th Street Pub. Words are hard.
The 8th Street
Pub. 8th Street Pub. And make sure to go.
Should we talk about how 8th? Is spelled
oh god no
like the written version of eighth it's ridiculous
we've already gone long.
This is someone who writes for a living I just can't get over the absurdities of the
he
English
has lots of beefs
sometimes.
With the English language he absolutely does obviously I do as well because I have such a problem speaking it but the Super Bowl is around the corner so make sure to enjoy a nice Four Peaks beverage during the game and go to the 8th Street Pub. Check out their facility. Make sure to meet your friends there. Watch the game there. It's a great time, great place to have it. And you can jump on the Underdog Fantasy app with your friends while you're there. You can all get down on pick'ems for the Super Bowl and so much more. You can draft fantasy, daily fantasy sports. If you miss the fantasy football season already, you can play with your friends on the Underdog Fantasy app. And, of course, you can win some cold, hard cash. Draft 6 NBA players with no positional limits, and whoever scores the highest fantasy points wins. We love it around here. We are riding on pitch counts in 2023 on the Underdog Fantasy app. So be an underdog, or as Jesse would like to call you, be an overdog on the Underdog Fantasy app. It's this easy to get started. Go to underdogfantasy.com, download the app, sign up with promo code PHNX, and Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. So make sure to do that. And of course, you know what we do around here. We use the Underdog Fantasy app. We get our beers from Four Peaks. Every week is Shark Week. Every day is Earth Day. And every Monday, we go to the mailbag. Damon, let's go to the mailbag. Let's go. Always something interesting in my mailbox. I try to get to everything in my mailbox. And then once in a while, there's a letter that makes me go, wow, wow, my mailbox. All right. Question number one, of course, comes from this guy that we miss a whole lot. Faj, a.k.a. Jacob Franklin, asks, who in life do you miss the most right now, and why is it me? Well, I mean, I don't I feel like I'm going to hurt his feelings now at this point.
You just got to do it.
Yeah, just Damon, if you could throw that picture back up. That's really who I miss right now in life the most right now, if I'm being honest. That's the guy I miss the most. I'm sorry, I don't mean to hurt his feelings.
You're leaving the audio-only people in the dark.
Oh, yeah, it's a picture of Paul Goldschmidt. It's the same one we showed earlier that broke our hearts. So just so Faj really knows that, you know, his place is definitely not number one in my heart as far as people I miss.
I texted Jacob recently and told him I missed him, and maybe he did reply. I was ready to say that he didn't reply. But now that I think about it, he might have replied.
No.
Either way, it wasn't sufficient. It wasn't the reply I was looking for.
It was like, you're welcome, something like that.
It's not much substance.
Good for you. I don't know. All right, what do we got for another question from the mailbag? Brett Lee Johnson asked, if you could pick any single season by a D-backs bullpen pitcher to have for this upcoming 2023 team, what year of pitcher are you taking? Brett is personally got to go with Byung-Young Kim and his 2002 season, 36 saves, 9.86 strikeouts per nine, 2.79 walk per nine, 53% ground ball rate, 2.04 ERA, 2.69 FIP, and 2.5 FWAR. Jesse, what are your thoughts? Is that a good selection there?
That's probably the selection I would make.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best because you have to consider the era, right? I mean, 2002 Like having a 2.04 ERA in 2002 is genuinely insane.
We were just now getting steroids under control around that time. Were still some sluggers smashing the ball. Of course, Kim gets a bad reputation for what happened in the World Series. I think I still hate him with every fiber of my being because of it. But it's not.
I thought you were about to take the high road there. Like
absolutely
he gets a,
not.
He gets a
no,
bad
I fucking
reputation.
Hate him. I hate him so much. I made him so much. And it's really, it just goes to show that really just one series or one bad performance or a couple of bad performances, I should say, really can define your career with a fan base, because looking at his numbers, Kim's numbers are fantastic as a closer and arguably was the best reliever we've had in our history.
What a bounce back season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you talk about coming back, especially from that. Obviously, the Diamondbacks bailed him out in the World Series. So
it helped that they won the World Series.
Right, yeah.
That took a lot of the pressure off, I think.
Much different, but...
I do have a few honorable mentions to make note of here. Even I probably would just agree with Brett's answer. But there are a few remarkable seasons from D-backs relievers that we've had in the past. Archie is one of them.
Archie
Bradley, a 1.74 ERA in 2017. The lowest ERA by any Diamondbacks reliever in franchise history, minimum 50 innings, 50 innings or more. So that if you look closely at like the peripherals from that season, I'm not sure how legit it was. Coming back for 2018, I had a lot of doubt at the time that he would be able to repeat that. And sure enough, he wasn't, unfortunately. But that was still a remarkable year. I also think that 2012, David Hernandez... Underappreciated. 68 in the third innings. 2.5 ERA doesn't necessarily jump off the page, but he struck out almost 13 per nine that year. He had 2.9 walks per nine, so low walk rate, high strikeout rate. He had a 2.08 FIP that year. That was really impressive.
I'm surprised, to be honest, that like Brad Ziegler doesn't appear more on this list, because I felt like he would be
Does he? I have Brad Ziegler content too.
Oh, let's go.
So Brad Ziegler, I don't think he ever had a season that was like top three in D-backs reliever history. You could make a case for it.
Sure.
But just because of like the way he did it, he did not overpower guys, right? He was a completely different brand of reliever. You could make a case that he did have a season that was maybe among the top three in franchise history. 2015, Brad Ziegler had a 1.85 ERA with a 4.76 K per nine. Wow. So he basically struck out nobody.
Yeah.
And he still had a 1.85 ERA. It's because
ground balls.
If you go through those years of Brad, and there's several of them in a row, Brad Ziegler was outstanding for the D-backs in the mid 2010s. He had ground ball rates north of 70% every single year, which is insane.
Yeah,
Brett mentioned Byung-Hyun Kim in 2002, a 53% ground ball rate. That's really, really high.
Yeah.
Over 70% is just completely insane. So I miss watching Brad Ziegler pitch because it was unlike anything else.
I think we're all in agreement, though, that 2002 season for Kim is probably the top of our list.
Probably takes the cake,
All right, what do we got? Next question, Damon. 99 fan club at Zancho. Is that Nacho? I don't know. I think there's a Nacho reference in there, but he says, is it pronounced data or data? I think I just answered that one. I pronounce it the way that they pronounce it on Star Trek. So it's data. It's data to me.
Are we like an English language podcast now?
That's what we've turned into today, Jesse. And this is all your fault.
People are submitting mailbag questions about how to pronounce words now.
Getting to that point.
I'm with you on data. Although I will say it does really bother me that you can't really say this data. You have to say these data, because data is plural. And so this doesn't make sense. So as you can see, I've had this inner conflict for a long time about this. So
I actually use both words the same way I say war and war. So just to let you know, it depends on the situation. What else we got? Brett Lefevre asks, specific to Captain Caveman, because we all know Jesse Friedman hasn't seen Demolition Man.
True.
But how would you use the three seashells? I got this one, Jesse.
All right.
Okay, so the three seashells are a reference in Demolition Man to how in the future they use the bathroom, right? So it's this simple. The three seashells are similar to what we see in high-end toilets now, but in the future, they are evolved to the point where they don't use this barbaric toilet paper any longer. Okay, one seashell is for
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I'm answering the question is what I'm doing, Jesse. One seashell is for drying.
I think
drying.
You're just making up crap
One seashell is for washing, one's for drying, and one's for flushing the toilet. There's your answer. That's what the three seashells are for in Demolition Man. In the future, they're evolved, right? So every toilet has a bidet in the future, as we all should now in 2023. I'm not going to make a gross reference in front of Jesse because he's just a boy. But if I were to rub chocolate on your arm right now, are you going to go wipe it off with a dry paper towel? Are you going to go to a sink and wash it off? Think about that and then go install a bidet in your house. Next question, please. All right. Brian Bobbitt says, who would be the best head coach manager of everyone in the PHNX office? Jesse, we are hurting feelings today. Let's go. Oh, you're not going to like my answer.
You really built it up before the show, so you can go.
Okay.
You can go first.
So, I'm leaning in two directions here. And first, I'm going to say Saul Bookman.
Okay.
And I hate myself for saying Saul Bookman, and I know Jesse hates me for saying Saul Bookman. But let's be honest, Saul's everything you're looking for in a coach, right? Not only is he going to ride you and make you absolutely feel at times like you are both simultaneously worthless and the greatest human being in all of mankind. Saul is also going to have your back more than anybody else. So no matter how much Saul tries to tear you down and build you back up, he will also defend you like nobody else has defended you in your entire life. I can only imagine that man going to bat for me against an umpire or a referee, whatever sport you want to say. Saul is going to get tossed for you multiple times. That's the kind of manager he is. What are your thoughts?
My answer is also Saul Bookman.
Oh, no. We can't agree on this. Okay, well, I'll go in a different direction. Emma. I think Emma would be a great sports manager coach. Emma is not taking any shit. Let me tell you, if there's anybody in this office that isn't taking shit from anyone, it's Emma. And Emma's going to be a strict coach and manager, but she will get the best out of you. She will make you perform at levels that you didn't even believe you could perform at.
I mean, that's kind of why my answer is Saul. It's exactly what you're saying, where there's two sides, right? Mm-hmm. There's one side where it's like, yeah, there's a healthy like, all right, I got to get my act together for this guy. But there's also like, oh yeah, Saul's like a really chill, enjoyable to be around guy.
Oh,
that's
kind of
what you, I wondered if Petey would be a good answer to this.
Oh yeah. I think Charles Woodall Pike says, I mean, someone at PHNX was an actual coach though. Is that a Petey reference?
I think that
I
is
know
a Petey
reference.
Does
for a job, but I don't know. I didn't know Petey was also
I feel
a coach.
Like to be like the manager, I feel like Petey might be a little bit too nice of a human being for that. But I honestly could see it. Petey was a close second for me. But I think, I mean, there's a reason that Saul's our GM, right?
Yeah, Gabriel says, will Saul do the sprint out to the plate or will he do the slow walk to argue?
He would do the sprint out.
Yeah.
I was
going to say sprint.
Saul,
out.
The biggest reason.
No,
in
you know what Saul,
Saul,
would, Saul. If Saul did the slow walkout, he would fucking yell at you the whole time. The minute he would hit the top deck, he would be like, "What is this bullshit?" And he would just keep that like line of just talking shit to you the whole way until he met you at home plate. But most of the time, it's going to be a sprint.
Yeah, Saul just has an unwavering competitive mindset,
correct.
Right?
Yeah,
and you very much need that.
Saul never played pickleball before, and he made sure that he was absolutely the best pickleball player on the court that day.
When I was playing with Saul that day, I was mortified because I was like, if we lose, it's going to be my fault.
We actually won.
But I kind of feared for my life if we had lost, because when Saul is in a competitive sports environment, that man is fierce.
Watch out.
This submission from Brett Johnson. Do you guys, I mean, are the D-backs more or less successful if this is the setup of the Arizona Diamondbacks moving forward?
Okay. Saul's the manager. Derek is the bench coach. Michaela is the bullpen coach. Well, see, fucking Michaela is just going to drive everybody out of the – every time they have a poor performance, Michaela's going to get rid of him. Jesse has the analytics department is a good call. I don't know what bench coaches do, so that's probably a great call as well. I mean,
Vibes guys.
Yeah, vibes guy, right? Yeah, I'm pretty good at that. Faj and Shane as bench coaches. I'm all for this lineup. D-backs win 92 games with that lineup right there.
I'm pretty sure, though, that Shane would send the guy around third base.
Oh, every time.
Every single time.
Every time.
I'm a little concerned about how that would work.
He's a gambling man.
Maybe we put Jacob at third.
He always takes the over. So you know he's going to try to score as many runs as possible.
We could put Shane at first base, but then he'd be having, you know, everyone trying to steal bases constantly. Yeah, yeah. So Seth Beer would have 80 stolen base attempts by the end of the year.
Well,
so
I think we figured out where he needs to go. All right. Well, of course, we thank you guys. I saw Brian Abdallah's. Don't think your insult fell deaf on my ears. I saw it. I know who's putting the thumbs down on the chat, Brian. I see you. anyway, PHNX diehards, get your membership over at gophnx.com. That way you get Jesse's wonderful diehard only pieces, as well as pieces from Howard, Craig, and that guy Gerald that they call Girth around here. You also get yourself access to our members only Discord lounge, members only deals over at the phnxlocker.com, including a free piece of merch every single year you're a member, and so much more, as well as discounts with our partners, discounts for our events, all sorts of fun to be had, as a diehard member, including drinking beers and burping on the show. PHNX YouTube, we thank you guys for being here right now on the YouTube channel. If you haven't signed up, please do so. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever we go live. If you're listening to us right now on the favorite audio podcasting app, please do that as well. Sign up there. Make sure you subscribe. Sign up or leave us a review. We love the reviews, and we love hearing from you guys as well. Jesse also loves hearing about what furniture he should put in his house. He's tired of me chastising him over his Chase lounges that he's going to have everywhere. I am not interested in going over to his house any longer, to be honest, because he's really...
I branched out this week.
Did you get some bar stools or something?
I did. Actually,
no way!
Actually, there are some bar stools in my car right now.
I'm so proud of you.
So, yeah, I mean, everything else is still at Chase Lounge, but, you know, if you want to sit on the bar stools when you come over, then,
I'm for it.
There's two of them. You can put your feet up on the other one.
Make sure to send Jesse all of your suggestions for real furniture he should buy, and then go get yourself some furniture over at morefurniture.com, or more importantly, visit their More Furniture location at 44th Street and McDowell. Use our promo code of PHNX, and you will get free delivery and installation on any purchases of $999 or more. This is not available online. This is a limited time offer that is only valid until January 31st. So tomorrow, go out there, get some furniture right now exclusively for our PHNX listeners. Take advantage now. Get yourself ready for the big game. And also, WrestleMania is coming up. Jesse doesn't want to hear me talk about that, but WrestleMania is coming up. The baseball season's coming up. Super Bowl's coming up. Lots of stuff to do. Not to mention great stuff hitting Disney Plus and all the streaming services. We got Wakanda Forever tomorrow. Go get yourself a new living room. Get yourself hooked up at morefurniture.com. We got more mailbag Monday questions, by the
can
way.
Can I interrupt the mailbag just real quick?
No.
So, and maybe we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but I feel like we do have to acknowledge, and I think a comment was made earlier. I want to say Michael might have said this earlier. The MLB The Show 23 cover athlete is Jazz Chisholm.
I don't want to talk about it.
Is former Diamondbacks top prospect Jazz Chisholm traded to the Miami Marlins in the Zach Gallen trade. This is bizarre, Derek, because Jazz Chisholm had sort of the makings of a breakout year last year, played 60 games. He was hurt for more than two thirds of the season. I don't know how you put that guy on the cover of MLB The Show. He has a career 104 OPS plus. He hasn't even really established himself as a good player in this league.
You're making Jesse mad with the analytics. You're making me mad with just the fact that he doesn't deserve it yet. I hope he's the most irrelevant cover athlete for the show history ever. That's what I think.
It's a fascinating choice. I mean, he's young and exciting, and I think his personality, like he just... There's just something about Jazz Chisholm I think people really enjoy watching him play, and his attitude. Talks a lot of crap, which Zach Gallen has talked about at times. But
our PHNX cover athlete is here, Sean DePaz. Sean, Jazz Chisholm, the cover athlete for MLB The Show 2023. Your thoughts on this choice?
Bullshit.
Thank you.
Why the fuck are we putting a Miami Marlin on the cover of a video game?
I mean, there's if you're going to put a Miami Marlin, put Sandy Alcantara, yeah, to be honest. Like, if we're going to put one of those guys on there.
Yeah, no, that makes no sense to me. I get it's cool. I like his hair, but also, I mean, you look at the long lineage of people. They went from Shohei Ohtani, who might be the greatest baseball player of all time, to Jazz Chisholm. Come on.
Brett Johnson says Julio Rodriguez would have been so much better. Absolutely.
For real. Yeah. For real. 100%. A young guy that everyone likes. Yep. He was a star in the All-Star.
He had his breakout season last year.
Yeah. Rookie of the year. Actual achievements on a team that actually made the playoffs. I don't know.
It's upsetting.
But let's put Jazz Chisholm on it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the personality. That's why they did this.
It really
Julio
is.
No has question. That personality, though. Yeah. And if you want the personality, put fucking Tim Anderson on the cover.
Right. Yeah. He's not wrong about anything he said. That's why he's the MVP around here. Let's get our next question for Mailbag Monday, because we could get stuck on this topic. We'll probably talk about
this
more tomorrow.
We'll talk about this more tomorrow.
I'm still angry about it. So let me let it marinate a little bit for me. Gabriel asks, knock on wood. I don't like when he starts tweets, knock on wood. I don't
like
that.
All right, well, we have to
knock on wood. All right, but why are the young players so resilient and healthy? What? They all play hard and run easily, fast, but yet none are out with injury? Why are we doing this? Like in years past on this team and others, is it conditioning or advanced scouting? Maybe it's not addressing it, Gabriel. Maybe it's not talking about it and cursing them like you just did with this tweet. What is wrong with you?
They were healthy.
They were healthy? You know who wasn't healthy? Zach Gallen, a lot. So again, I put him out there as a young guy that we did not see very much because of injuries at times.
I definitely see where Gabriel's coming from on this, but I will also say that it's a bit of a hot take to say the D-backs like young players stay healthy when almost all of their recent first round draft picks have needed shoulder surgery almost immediately. And I guess Gabriel's probably talking about like Alec Thomas, Dalton Varsho, Jake McCarthy, right? The guys that we've seen in the majors. So I do see where you're coming from on that. Yeah. I think generally speaking, like young players who don't have long injury histories, like from their days in high school, college, the minors, whatever, generally speaking, those players are going to be relatively healthy, right? That's sort of why there's an advantage of having younger players on your team versus older players. Very generally true. Speaking, that's going to be the case. You're going to have a little bit better injury luck there. I will acknowledge that D-backs, especially last year, had tremendous injury luck, right?
Yeah.
It's like 2021, their injury luck was as bad as you could possibly imagine. Last year, they didn't lose that much. I mean, Nick Ahmed was out for almost the whole year. Carson Kelly missed a couple of months there. He didn't have a great season anyway.
They were luckier last year because they really didn't do what they have done now. Like we've talked about the depth that they've added this offseason, which is the key. But last year, they kind of got away with it to a degree.
Yeah, they did not have that much starting pitching depth, but they didn't really have to use it because Gallen was healthy other than at the very beginning of the year. Merrill Kelly, 200 innings. Zach Davies missed a few starts, but he still made 27, I want to say.
Even Madison Bumgarner was unnecessarily
Madison
healthy.
Madison Bumgarner was also, I would not say it that way, but Madison Bumgarner was also very durable and was available to the D-backs throughout the season.
Durability was almost a problem, right? No, he's not. No, we're not saying that. But we are saying that, they definitely had guys stay healthy last year, and even the majority of the injuries were things guys were able to recover from and you know come back to the team. Ahmed being the main exception there. That you know they were.
It would have been nice for them to have Ahmed because Geraldo Perdomo really struggled offensively last year. I know a lot of people are still high on him for the future, which I see where you're coming from, but Ahmed would have given them some stability at the shortstop position, especially early in the year.
Especially late in games when the bullpen kind of blew stuff. And a lot of times, as much as you wanted to scream and yell about the bullpen pitcher being at fault for that, at times it was just like, wow, how did a defender not get to that ground ball that just kind of dribbled up?
That did happen. That did happen on a number of occasions.
Right. All right, what else we got? I love this question so much. Elizabeth gets our question of the day. She asks, which game show do you think you'd be good at? Derek seems like he would be incredible at The Price is Right. I don't know why. I'm going to tell you why, Elizabeth.
You are good at The Price is Right.
I would absolutely kill on The Price is Right.
Really?
And the reason why, Jesse, is it's this simple. The Price is Right is a game about retail prices in grocery markets, stores, supermarkets, all that kind of thing, right? I do all of the shopping and all of the cooking in my house. I can tell you right now off the top of my head that a bag of sour cream and onion Lay's is $4.59 retail price. I can also tell you that you can get it on sale right now at Walmart for $3 a bag, saving you $1.59. But if you want your best deal, you go to Safeway, you buy two bags at $1.77 a piece. Bang, that's how you save over 50% off the retail price. This is unnecessary information that is forever in my head. So of course I'm going to do well on Price is Right. I also spin wheels very well. So Price is Right, Wheel of the Fortune, all that stuff, I do good on those. What do you think?
You're trying to tell me that the man who thinks Arizona iced tea is worth 99 cents when he paid $1.59 for it earlier that day.
I knew the
is
two
an
prices.
Expert on
Jesse,
the pricing.
There is a
industry.
Price tag on the can. It is part of the can's design. It is not my fault that people take advantage of us.
So on the Price is Right, if they slapped a price tag, like a bogus price tag on one of those things, it would automatically be worth that price?
No, absolutely not, because there's a game where you decide if it's higher or lower than that price. That's one of the games, Jesse.
That's fair.
It's just one of the games.
I'm just saying. I think we have good reason.
Have you ever even watched Price is Right?
I have watched Price is Right. It's been a number of years. I have not seen it.
I would also do very well on Supermarket Sweep, Brian Adala. You have no idea how fast I can find items, and I'm very good at riddles too.
What is Supermarket Sweep? That one I don't know.
Oh my God.
Do you know that, Damon?
Yeah,
am I alone in this?
A little bit recently. It's pretty cool actually.
I don't think Derek has left the studio because I haven't seen Supermarket Sweep, which I swear I've never heard of in my life. But Damon, you're still here. Explain to me what the show
is
about.
I believe like the simple concept of it is that you have to find certain items in the store.
Okay.
And put them in your cart.
Things do it. Supermarket Sweep isn't just about finding stuff in the store. It's about knowing like taglines for items and stuff. I need older people to do this show with is what I need. I need people that have seen more things. Jesse, what show would you be?
All right, you want to talk about old? You want older people?
Yeah, go.
All right,
go.
So, there was a show that I want to say I don't know the exact era, but this far predates my birth and potentially yours. Have you heard of To Tell the Truth?
Yes, I've heard
yeah,
To Tell the Truth.
Yeah.
Yes,
I saw like. I don't know what was happening, but I was at my parents' house one day and there was just episode after episode of this show playing on their TV.
You were on
and
the Game Show Network.
I could not get away from it. It was incredible. I don't know if I would necessarily be that great at it, but I think I'd be pretty decent at asking questions and figuring out what people's occupations were.
Okay. That you're right about that. I think so.
I think you would ask cutting questions that would
immediately feel found out based on one question you asked.
Oh, absolutely. The other, everyone thinks I'd be good at Jeopardy. It's like, oh, Jesse's the nerd. Of course he's good at Jeopardy, but no.
Not under pressure.
I don't. Oh, wow. You think I fold under pressure?
Play ping pong.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not even going to acknowledge that comment. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, right? Yeah. Jeff Foxworthy, I had the computer game. Mm-hmm. And I would play
You were often smarter than the fifth grader?
And I was in fourth grade. I was smarter than that. No, I don't think I won it in fourth grade. To be fair, that the premise of are you smarter than a fifth grader is absurd because there is no fifth grader on the planet who knows every single thing that was brought up in there.
Yeah.
I actually in
you know they study that stuff in fifth grade. That's the purpose of those questions,
yeah,
right?
Right. Like,
so they probably do know that stuff off the top of their head.
No, but they don't.
Oh,
they
come
don't.
On. Come
as,
on.
As a person who was a teacher a year ago, I can say that it is pretty unrealistic to expect someone to know every single thing in their textbooks at any given time. That's just not true. I tried to play Family Feud. I am familiar with Family Feud, mm-hmm. but I wasn't totally sure how good I was at it. And so I Googled it. Turns out you can play Family Feud online. And I found out very quickly that I'm not good at Family Feud. So there's that.
All right. Well, I think we've uncovered. I think Cash Cab for you. Cash Cab would be good. And that's
know.
There's some pressure
know. That's
there.
Another
there's
one I don't know.
Chris said that Jesse, we need Jesse on a Japanese game show. Yes, something with explosions maybe or a pit. Foam pit that Jesse has to like cross a beam past or something.
Yes,
they have some
that would
crazy,
be right up my alley
totally.
For sure.
All right. We got one last question with a follow-up question. At Don's Bread, Notorious Troublemaker asks, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I have to point out that Don's Bread did not spell sandwich correctly, which kind of falls perfectly in line with the theme of this entire show.
It's a very valuable question. Yeah. It's a very valuable question. Is it a hot dog a sandwich, Jesse?
I would say a hot dog is a sandwich.
You'd be wrong.
I would say it's a sandwich.
It's wrong. You're wrong. Okay. You're wrong. All right. If you start getting into this, the honest to God truth is the difference between a sandwich and anything else is the vertical orientation of the bread, right? Vertical versus
what?
Orientation of the bread, vertical versus horizontal. If you're having yourself a sandwich, it's horizontally laid out. I don't care. If you want to cut the top of your bread like Subway does, and we want to have an argument about that, that's fine. Still, when they wrap your sandwich, they turn it outside.
What do you mean?
The orientation of the item itself. A hot dog, the slit is up. You put the meat down, it stays that way. It's like a taco. Because if you start saying a fucking hot dog is a sandwich, a taco is a sandwich, a burrito is a sandwich, everything else is a sandwich. Everything is a sandwich if you start saying a hot dog is a sandwich. We have to have rules around here. And the rule is a hot dog is not a sandwich. That's why we fucking call it a hot dog. That's the rule. Have you ever heard someone call it a hot dog sandwich unless it was hot dogs cut in half and laid on bread? Never. Not once in your life have you ever heard someone call it a hot dog sandwich.
I mean, I'm not saying people should call it that in everyday life, but I think if you're just thinking about the technical definition of a sandwich, it has to be that, right? It's bread and there's meat inside of the bread. Like, it's not that complicated, Derek. Don't give me all this crap about the orientation of the bread.
Yeah, I'm fucking giving you fucking crap about the orientation of the bread.
I regularly make, you know, like those Hawaiian sweet rolls that are so like buttery and delicious and amazing. No. I make sandwiches with Hawaiian sweet rolls and it's very, very similar. It's like you just like open it, right? Just like you would a hot dog bun. And then you put your meat and cheese and mayo and then whatever inside.
How do you eat it? Do you eat it like this? Do you eat it with the slit open on top?
Are you trying to tell me it depends on the formation of your hands when you eat it?
I said it's on the fucking horizontal or vertical orientation of the fucking item is what I said.
I think the people in the comments agree with me, Derek.
No,
I think you're
wrong. They're not. You could say it's, again, so everything. See, Gabriel said, so is beef Wellington a sandwich then, Jesse? Is beef Wellington
Wellington?
You don't even know what beef Wellington is.
What beef Wellington is?
Beef Wellington is a meat
steak.
It's a meat wrapped. It's a meat wrapped in a puff pastry, and then you cut it, and then it's got like it's
I would have to see like a picture of it. I don't think that would be a sandwich.
No, well, neither is a hot dog. Neither is a hot dog. Can we get the follow up question? Because this one might be more important. Is cereal soup, Jesse?
I haven't put much thought into this one. Is cereal soup? I mean, I guess the fundamental question, what it's going to come down to is, does it matter whether it's hot or cold, right?
No, because soup can be served cold. There's several soups that are served cold.
What? Like what?
I wasn't prepared to look up cold soups for you, but I'm just saying in this situation. Now, what I will say is even a cold soup is still cooked to a certain degree. This is merely just adding milk to an item. Like, you can add milk to anything. Does it make it soup? Do I put fucking water on something that makes it soup? No. The answer is no. Cereal is not a soup.
Yeah, I would say cereal is not a soup as well, but I just can't quite figure out how to get there. It's like, if cereal is a soup, then we have bigger problems. You know, the world is...
There you go.
Okay, but...
Yeah, see, just because you don't believe in it as a soup doesn't mean there aren't cold soups out there.
I just think
there are cold soups out there.
No, there can be cold soups out there. It's just cereal just can't be one of them.
Right.
I don't know where we have to draw the line, but cereal.
Yeah, we have to draw the line somewhere. Yeah, like sandwiches. Just like with sandwiches. We have to draw the line somewhere. Or you're just ordering burrito fucking sandwiches now.
Ryan said, what about a euro? Which is an interesting question.
Exactly.
I think I would call a euro a sandwich.
Then burritos are then everything's a sandwich. This
no,
guy. Everything's a sandwich. If you fucking take a roll and put it around your fucking chicken, in any way, shape, or form, it's a sandwich now.
No, I wouldn't go that far. Tacos are not sandwiches. I mean, you either have like a hard shell or you have a soft, but that's not like bread. Like that's a tortilla. That's just different. So. I acknowledge that that's a little bit dicey territory, but I think it's pretty clear that a hot dog is a sandwich.
You heard him. You guys. Yeah,
I
like,
still never
you were agreeing
like,
with him earlier. I hope you feel
bread,
shame that
the
you were
bread
agreeing
argument
with him.
Earlier doesn't make any sense to me at all.
It absolutely
and if that
should.
If that's the only
it
way that we
should.
Can make a hot dog not a sandwich, then I'm not,
to tell
I'm
you.
Not going
I'll,
there.
No, I'll tell you. Vertical orientation of said bread. But regardless, if you agree with us or not, it doesn't matter.
You're going to need to make like a graphic of what you mean. I still don't understand.
I'm going to make a graphic.
Orientation.
No, tomorrow I'm going to bring a PowerPoint on why a hot dog is a sandwich. And we're going to go over this again in the third quarter of this show. But in the meantime, you guys can grab your DraftKings Sportsbook app. I wish there were odds on this. I wish there were odds on whether or not a sandwich or a hot dog is a sandwich. Because I would take whatever the over or under is. I don't know how that would work. But
yeah,
anyway.
That doesn't really. No, I don't think that's how the
I'm betting on the sandwich. I'm betting on not being a sandwich. I'm not. It's not a goddamn sandwich. But anyway, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every single day. So go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Opt in. That's the important part. And place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code PHNX. New customers get down on a $5 deal where you bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code PHNX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. And a big shout out, as always, to our friends from Mountain Mike's. We love Mountain Mike's, and they always make sure we are well fed around these parts at PHNX. But check out our friends Mountain Mike's for sure. You can not only check out their Mesa, Chandler, or Tucson locations, but of course, place your next order. Reminder, new diehards get a $50 voucher upon signing up. So if you needed another reason to be a diehard member, there it is right there. Get a $50 voucher for Mountain Mike's Pizza. So big shout out to them.
Can I give a pro tip on Mountain Mike's?
Please do.
So I have like Chase is my main banker, right? And on my Chase app, there are like different discounts that I can select for my credit cards.
Well. Yeah.
And Mountain Mike's is almost always there. So
you get cash back, like a 5%,
yeah,
10%
yeah,
cash back?
Yeah, I think it's 10%. So I get like 10% off beyond like all of the incredible offers that Derek is talking about. So you can get a little extra something there.
There you go. I always do that, by the way. My wife and I were just talking about this morning. Your card probably has a 2. Check it out for sure.
I spend a distressing amount of time on there going through and selecting different discounts. And I think in about 5 years of doing that, I think I've saved about $10.
I'm up to $70.62 just this year alone.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's what happens when you actually have places. And the best part is I don't have to go like – fine place. It's like Mountain Mike's. Mountain Mike's is on there. I'm going to go to Mountain Mike's.
Right.
It's a natural fit for me. So
there you go.
It's great stuff. We appreciate you guys being here. Thank you guys so much for your Mailbag Monday questions and for joining us here in the chat. We always appreciate you being here. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at @JesseNFriedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBACKS. By the way, speaking of PHNX DBACKS, we got some stuff to give away, you guys. This is courtesy of the birthday girl herself, Chris. She gave us a bunch of great stuff to give away. And we're passing all of this goodness on to you guys. So make sure to tell your friends. Get as many people to follow us. We're like 14 people or something stupid away from 5,000. Like, we can't believe it. We never believed 5,000 people would follow a show with this guy's face on it all the time. But, of course, we appreciate you guys so much. We're going to give all this stuff away. So make sure to follow us. Let's hit 5K. Thank you, Elizabeth, for your wonderful question and for call. He's not going to stop staring at pictures of Timothy Chalamet all day long. So that's going to be a problem. But
I don't really see the resemblance.
Oh, see? Good. Let's squash that. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys again so much for joining us today. On behalf of Damon, Jesse, or AKA Timothy Chalamet over here, and myself, we always appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when all of your prospects are on all of the top 100 lists.